wants to have the preaching because I sent it on him in his word. Matthew 26, and I encourage you to stand just for a moment. We'll read a few verses here to honor the reading of the word of God. I'm going to preach something today called "The Spirit Indeed Is Willing." The Spirit Indeed Is Willing. In Matthew 26, we'll start reading in verse number 26. And here you'll find that the word of God does say this. "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave to the disciples, and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung in him, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Jesus saith unto them, 'All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee.' Peter answered and said unto him, 'Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended.'" I wrote a note here in my Bible that whenever there is a comparison, be prepared for a coming failure. Because Peter compared himself. He said, it doesn't matter what anybody else says, I'm not going to be the one. He's making a comparison in spirituality. And as you know the story, he did fail. And that's what the Bible says, that we dare not make ourselves the number, that they compare themselves among themselves. Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, "Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, "My son is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me." And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, "What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, "Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners." Now, looking back in verse 41, again, we see Jesus speaking to his disciples. He'd given them some simple instruction to watch and pray, and they were not able to be faithful to his request even for 1 hour. And he speaks to them. He says, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So we're going to preach today, "The Spirit Indeed Is Willing." Father, we thank you for the word of God today. I pray you strengthen your people. In Jesus' name, I ask this all. Amen. You may be seated. Now, thank you for standing. Now, if you're familiar with this verse, what verse 41 really means to most people is this. When we say the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak, we generally translate it like this. I really want to do the will of God, but my flesh is so weak I just can't do what God wants me to do. And we find ourselves not believing that it's even possible to do what God wants us to do. I've used that verse myself in times of failure. I've heard many of God's people for years justify not being able to accomplish the will of God by saying that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I want you to see some of the scripture today and see what Jesus, I believe, really is teaching in this passage. Now, the word indeed is a word that means in reality, in truth, and in fact. I think we're going to think about what's taking place in the context here. We'll see a few things that the Spirit is willing to teach us, that's indeed willing to teach us, so that we can actually do the will of God and do the things that God would have us to do. First, I want you to notice number one, and these are long points, so I may just have to give you the outline later. if you're trying to take notes. The Spirit indeed is willing to teach His disciples that the strongest personal declaration does not protect one against failure. The Spirit indeed is willing to teach His disciples that the strongest personal declaration does not protect one against personal spiritual failure. The example we read about it, Peter and all the disciples. Jesus, being God, being the Word of God, told them that you're going to deny me, that you're going to fail me. But they make this strong declaration, and Peter starts out, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. If you've been saved any period of time, perhaps in your youthful zeal and in your confidence in the flesh, though you thought it was spirit, you look at some other brothers and sisters in Christ and you said, I'll never do what they do, what they're doing right now. And if you tell the truth, you found out you did some of the same things that in your heart you condemned other brothers and sisters in Christ for doing. And why is that? Because God wants you, the Spirit needs to teach us something, that our declarations don't mean anything apart from the Spirit of God. Number two, the Spirit indeed is willing to teach us that the flesh is not strong enough to accomplish the simplest spiritual endeavor. The Spirit indeed is willing to teach us that the flesh is not strong enough to accomplish the simplest spiritual endeavor. Now, I believe that's what Jesus is really teaching here. Because they did not want to fail the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, when Peter stood the longest, where he even cut off one of the soldier's ears, but eventually he forsook him and ran like everybody else did. And in fact, cursed to the point he cursed to deny his association with Jesus Christ. And he found out that in his flesh, and the disciples here, they followed him, they walked with him, and he told them to watch and pray, and they could not even watch 1 hour. I mean, you can watch 3 hours of World Cup, right? With no trouble in the flesh. You can watch a 4-hour football game when the NFL season starts in the flesh with no trouble at all. And you can, you pick your sport. I like tennis. About the only earthly thing I'd ever want to do, if I had an endless amount of money, would be to go to watch the Final Four NCAA tournament and go to Wimbledon. But I mean, for the amount of money it costs me to go to Wimbledon, I could probably buy a house or a car, at least a car. So I wouldn't go if I had the money. But I'm just saying, earthly speaking. And I've watched in the past tennis matches for over 4 hours, just to go back and forth, and was there the whole time. But there have been times when I thought, you know what, I need to connect with God, and I go out to pray. And I mean, I think I just, and there's something I just, man, I just know I met with God for this long period of time. And I just really, man, it just, the time, it just seemed like it's standing still. And it was only 15 minutes. But there are other times when directed by the Spirit of God, next thing you know, it's 1 hour and it's 2 hours and it's 3 hours. But in my flesh, the simplest spiritual endeavor, I just can't get it done. Do you know, in your flesh, right now, there's probably people that there's somebody you know you should treat with the love of Christ. You know it's the right thing to do. And you've determined that you're going to do that. And the moment they say that one thing, you're like, there's a cat fight on. Because you can't do that in the flesh. You can desire to do it, and though you know it's the right thing, but your flesh is not strong enough to accomplish the simplest spiritual endeavor. Now the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Because for the disciples that it, now keep in mind, these were not ordinary disciples. They cast out devils. They did many wonderful works in the name of Jesus Christ. They followed him. They walked with him. They served with him. And now here it is. He expresses great sorrow and his agony. And he said, just wait here and watch with me. And he comes back to check on them just after 1 hour. But they thought they could do it in the flesh, just like Peter said. And because Peter said something against the word of God. Because Jesus told him, you're going to deny me. And so Peter made a flesh declaration against what the scripture said. And so he could not do it because he made a flesh statement. 1 hour, could not make it 1 hour. Number three, last of all, and we'll go back. We'll put the meat on the things a little bit. The spirit indeed is willing to help you to do the will of God in your life that you have been unable to do in the flesh. The spirit indeed is willing to help you to do the will of God in your life that you have been unable to do in the flesh. There's people, I would imagine, number of people here, there's people in this room right now, they really would like to have joy. And you've been trying to have joy a long time. You'd like to have peace. You'd really like to be settled in life. You'd like to have the peace and just the rest in the will of God and the rest in the presence of God and just to do the will of God. And man, just be okay with that. And you've been trying to do it. And there have been other spiritual endeavors that you say, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to read my Bible every day for the next month. Then 3-4 days later, you find out where did I put that Bible in? I know it's around here somewhere. And then there's gap. And you say, what happened here? Because those determinations were good determinations. They were not non-biblical determinations. They were good desires. They were godly desires. But you can't do godly desires apart from the Spirit of God. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. There must be a submission. And when you think about what's really going on here, now Jesus gives them a teaching in their life that they can build upon it later. So understand the magnitude of what happens here. Now, hold your place. You turn to John. John chapter 3. We see why Jesus is able. Now, actually, if you look into the context here, before you turn, I'm getting ahead of myself. I've been excited. Back where we're saying the text, and we're going to go to John 3 in a moment. Don't lose your place. Now, I want you to think about Jesus here in his discourse here. Now, he's very sorrowful, and he's going to teach them the object lesson of everything that he's just taught them. Okay, he goes to the Father. He says, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. I'm looking at verse 39 of Matthew 26. But he says, nevertheless, not as I will. Now, Jesus was God in the flesh, right? So there's a flesh part of him that didn't want to go to the cross. But the spirit was so strong in him that it overrode what his flesh desired him to do. He went to the Father and he submits to be able to go forward and do the will of God, not as I will, but as thou wilt. If he had asked a question, that means he didn't want to do it. But he's submitting to the will of God by the Spirit of God. He asked, and again, we see down in verse 42, and he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. So he surrenders to the will of God, showing that anybody think you're ready to go to the cross this afternoon? Anybody think you're ready to do that, to go to the cross? I would like to be ready. I'd have to be, and honest with it, because God had not brought that before me, I'm not spiritually ready for that. I like to say that I am. I would like to hope and think, but until I'm placed in those circumstances, until I can be ready in the Spirit of God, let me know that this is what I'm headed for, I can make a declaration to you, man, bless God, I can do that. I said, bless God, I'm going to do that before too, and something didn't happen. Why? Because something wrong with God's plan will for my life? No, because I tried to do it in the flesh instead of in the Spirit. Now, we see something unique about Jesus Christ, the secret to his strength and his power in John 3. And we'll start reading verse 30. We'll be back to Matthew in a moment, so you can hold your place there. In John 3, it says, he must increase but I must decrease. Now, this really pretty much destroys all church planting models, because church planting models say you make your influence, you gotta project a good image, and then people want to come to your church. You project the image, and then people want to come. Jesus, John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. So the way we get our church more known is that we decrease more. We let our personal image be known less, and that Christ be known more. Because I tell you what, if everywhere you go, people see Christ, people that are looking for answers, they're going to follow you somewhere. They're going to say, what gives? You know, why is it that everybody else is doom and gloom and griping and mumbling and complaining about everything, but man, you just always praising God about something? why are you guys, this is work today, why are y'all praying in front of the office? And why are you happy about talking to God? We say prayers because we have to do them. It's the time to do them, you know. We got to do our prayers right now. Why are we doing it? Why are you happy about Jesus right now? Well, it's just something called the joy, amen. It's the fruit, amen, by the Spirit of God, amen. Roddy Richard take Mark Strong admonition when he first thought it's okay for Christians to drink, you know. And that's what I remember Richard telling me, that's one of the things that first convicted him, you know. And why? Because there was some light shining there. He didn't find our church on the website. He found our church by one of God's children. That's how it happens. Don't forsake the importance of personal contact. He says, that's a side note here. He must increase, but I must decrease. So, he that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy. And he speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. That's our Savior. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. Now notice this, verse 34. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Spirit, Jesus Christ had the endless amount of the Spirit, so he could simply be empowered to go to the cross. That's why, although his flesh desired to do things, the Spirit of God drove him. If you read, and I think in the Gospels, the Spirit of God drove him out into the wilderness. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. He went out, and he was able, pardon me, have victory over the devil because of the Spirit of God. He did not do those things in his own fleshly nature. Because of the Spirit of God not by measuring him, he was incapable of sinning. How he could be robed in flesh and not sin. We see now in our disciples, we see something that happens in them after the resurrection. John 21, the book of John, go to the end of the chapter. Now, if you know anything about the book of Acts, all these same men that forsook him and fled were able to follow Christ even unto death. And they were empowered, they were bold, they were no longer cowards. It's kind of like when Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, but I pray for you, that when thou art converted, thou wilt strengthen the brethren. Well, converted from what? Converted from thinking that he can just be strong-willed enough to get God's will done, to make a fleshly declaration, and to say within himself, I can do it, apart from the Spirit of God. The Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. John 21, and verse 21, is that right? John 20. Let's start in verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst. That's a good meeting. And said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Amen. That was the difference. The Holy Ghost. The flesh wanted to. The Spirit was willing. Their flesh was too weak to do and to be what God would have them to be. the Spirit breathed on them. Then they go out valiant soldiers. Then they experience what Psalm 28 verse 1 is about. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Being empowered by the Spirit of God, they went out and were able to do all those things that God wanted them to do and be faithful unto Jesus Christ unto death. And back a few pages of the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24. I'd like to see just how what happened when he breathed on them, you know. I mean, did he go one by one, each individual one? Or did he just stand back there in a group and he just, like now, he just breathed and it just went out? Can you imagine that? Did he come on in? I mean, just... Woo! I mean, God is amazing. You just think about God sometimes. How did he do that? Luke 24. In verse 45, the Word of God says this, Then open he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. That's what we're trying to do today, to have you be delivered from a life of self-inflicted failure based on good intentions. Why do a lot of people that are truly saved quit on God? Because they try to do a lot of good things in the flesh. At our church, we try to move slow enough to where you can be led by God to do something. Because if you're led by God to do it, you'll keep doing it. But if you just do it because, well, the pastor said to do it, then you won't keep doing it. You got to know in the Spirit of God when you're willing. When the Spirit of God is willing and you submit to the will of the Spirit of God, things happen. Amen. Hey, you know those besetting sins that you struggle with that you said you're not going to ever do those things again? You got to stop trying to do it in the flesh, and you got to look in the Bible, and you got to recognize that the Spirit of God, you know, because sometimes we think, even it's amazing how we think with sin. We think, well, maybe it's just God's will that I struggle with this sin all my life. Instead of being in the Word of God, no, the Spirit of God is willing to allow me to do God's will. Yeah, my flesh is weak. Isn't salvation about doing something spiritual that you could not do for yourself? Is that true? So then, as we have received Christ Jesus the Lord, the Bible says, so walk ye in him. I don't know about you, but I got saved because the Spirit of God convicted me of my lost condition. And the Spirit of God revealed to me that Jesus Christ was the answer. And the Spirit of God said, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. And that Wednesday morning back in 1993, I said yes. Because I realized the Spirit of God was willing to save me. And from what? From me. God kept trying to change. He kept trying to be different. And Greek Galatians, they were... Oh, yeah, believe me. Ooh, where are we at? Back here. Let's go to the verse here. Verse 46. And he said unto them, Luke 24, 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And we are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now, he already breathed on them, but he said, I've got something greater for you to do that you can't possibly do with good intentions. So what I need you to do, I need you to go in the city of Jerusalem. You need to wait until the power comes. And not just, we're not talking about a strong constitution. We're not talking about an inspiration. We're talking about power from on high. Because I'm going to send you in to do something that's so totally beyond yourselves. If you try to accomplish it in the flesh, you just won't make it. And that's how many of God's people are drowning. They begin in the Spirit, but they try not to continue walking in the Spirit. That's why I always tell, when I was a youth pastor, I always tell the young people, don't be in a hurry to go out and do something. Let God lead you. As you ignore all those people that are asking you, what are you going to do with your life? Because many of them don't have any idea what they're doing with their own life. And they can be in their 40s and 50s and 30s, and they want you to know, and they don't know. Amen. So you stop and you wait for God. Amen. And you wait to, and bless God, wait for the power to come. And then you go out and the will of God, and swoom, things will just happen, amen. That's why that's so many older people are trapped in situations. Because a lot of parents with good intention just said, well, you're this age, you got to go do something. And you thought you got to go do something. You go did something. And all of a sudden you got all these things. You're surrounded by responsibility and obligation. And then, you know, what do I do now? Well, you got to go. You got to do some type of way. You got to go somewhere and wait so God can empower you to what he wants you to do now. The morning, you might need to be born again. Because until a person's born again, they have no concept of the Spirit of God actually moving in their heart. Hey, he said, my sheep know my voice and they follow him. How do they know how to follow him? Because they were led by the Spirit of God to even be one of his children. Amen. And that voice that led you unto salvation, the same voice that leads you to that next step, because the steps of a good man order the Lord. Amen. You take those steps, you follow them, and then all of a sudden you're doing whatever God would have you to do. And miracles don't even seem like miracles because you're just following God. Did I talk Wednesday night about Paul saying Galatians 2:20 about Christ living in me? Did I mention that Wednesday night? If I went right now and I said to you, I knocked down the CN Tower, you would think. Now, if I said it just like that, you would think, man, there must be something in me. Or it was, wow. You think, man, he's pretty strong. He must be stronger than he looked. And that table muscle must be doing something. But if I said I blew up the CN Tower, I knocked it down using explosives, he said, that's no big deal. Because it wasn't me, it was the explosives. And when we look at Paul, man, Christ just simply lived in him. And all those things we glorify him for, that we should just really be saying, well, the Son of God lived in him. What do we expect? You see what we've done by we've magnified the flesh, and really, this is good. Catch it. Praise God. Catch it. In 2 Corinthians, I think if I can find this, this is good. It's 1 or 2 Corinthians. I'll know in a moment. Hold your place. And I think we might be done with Luke. I don't know. Just keep your Bible open. We'll do whatever. Let's see. Man, where was that at? Oh, it's got to be second because he was talking about the boldness. I think. What's that verse that said he come? I think it's something to be bold toward you, as though I did anything. You might know what I'm talking about. We mentioned that a few services ago. As he said, with some, as something, well, somebody do a search. You got your electronic Bible there. Some think me to be bold. Try that. Think and bold in New Testament. Where was this is worth waiting for. Maybe it was, let's see. Or some, maybe it's first grade now. Or some think me to be bold toward you. Anyway, I give it. It says something to the effect. I'll give her a chance to find it. But Paul, the one thing that made Paul upset, he said, I don't want to be bold toward you. He said, some thinking to be bold. And he said, I'm bold toward some, as some that think I did this in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 10:2. Amen. Praise God. Oh, yeah, here it is. We'll start with verse 1. He said, now I, Paul, beseech you. He said, this is important. He said, I'm begging you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with you, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. He said, the only time I think myself to be bold is when I'm against those people that think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. He said, I'm bold against those people. He said, how dare you think that the things that Jesus Christ did in my life were by me? This was my Savior, by the Spirit of God, by God leading me. How dare you think that? He said, that's the only people I'm bold toward. And we see, and in our lives, and it reminds us here that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. See, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We're not fighting this battle by the flesh. Why? Because the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. The Spirit's willing. So the Spirit's willing to work in you that you might be able to accomplish the will of God, but you'll never accomplish it in the flesh. The disciples were breathed on. They instructed to wait in Jerusalem till they do them with power. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we see a confirmation for the children of God that God has given us everything we need to be able to do God's will and God's plan. Second Peter chapter 1, one of my favorite verses, beginning verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and our Lord and Jesus and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now notice here, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and the godliness. So that means you and I have everything we need to pertain to life and to godliness. How do we get that? When we're born again, the Spirit of God lives inside of us. We have to live by the Spirit of God. We have to walk by the Spirit of God. Why do you think Jesus would say, be not drunk with wine, whereas it would be filled. Be filled. Because the Spirit is what's willing to help you to do the will of God for your life. Because see, there are two types of people in this room right now. There's some walking a victorious Christian life, and you're enjoying every minute of it. And there's some that, in your estimation, you've just failed just about everything. You've tried, and you're afraid even to try to be consistently faithful because you really don't have a concept of what that's like. Why? Because every time God convicts you, you dust yourself back off and you start back the journey in the flesh. The Spirit of God convicts you and to bring you out of that, and you try to go about it in the flesh again. And that'll carry you for a little bit of time. I don't think the disciples fell asleep after 1 minute of praying. Somewhere within the hour, they lost it though. And everybody's different as far as what they can attempt to do for God. But when you're led by the Spirit of God, because the thing, if the Spirit of God can allow a person to be born again, what are you born again for? If you're a new creature, what's new about you? You're new to be new. New to be different. New to live. But you got to live by the Spirit of God. You can't just make some statement and then try to go live the life apart from communion and connection with God. That's what our education mania has done to people. And by the way, the Bible says, search the Scriptures. Study to show yourself approved unto God. But so often, we just want to have information, and information is absolutely no guarantee of spiritual power. Because didn't knowledge puff it up? Does your Bible say that? I think mine does. And so, God wants to deliver us from a life of up, down, up, down, up, down. He wants to have us a life. Why do we read about people in the Bible that wholly followed the Lord? Well, didn't the Bible say that Caleb and Joshua had another spirit? It's one of them, my servant Caleb or Joshua, because there's another spirit in him. That's how he could wholly follow the Lord. It wasn't his own spirit. the spirit that was willing. The flesh was weak. Now, in fact, Galatians 3 asks a good question here. He said, Galatians 3:2, "This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" As you know, the book of Galatians is writing to people because they're trying to do, they now added works to salvation, added flesh to salvation, circumcision to salvation. He said, how did you receive it? Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith? So that instruction, that will of God, that God placed in your heart, did you receive it by some good work, some good deed you did? Or did you hear by the word of God? And the Spirit of God make it alive, and the Spirit of God points you that direction, and now you got to walk in the Spirit to be able to do this. Luke chapter 11. So how do we do this? Well, here it is. Simple. Said a verse before. But I can tell you it works. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, we see what we call the Lord's Prayer here. He says in verse 1, "It came to pass that he was praying in a certain place when he ceased. One of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." Oh, here it is. "Thy will be done." Well, God and the Spirit are the same. The Spirit's willing. "Thy will be done." This is what you're praying, mind you. "Thy will be done. Thy will be done." And the Spirit is that unction. See what happens is when you actually wait in prayer long enough, you have a besetting sin, and you wait in prayer long enough, and if you turn in your heart from your sin, I promise you, this is what happened. whatever that besetting sin is, and you wait in prayer, and you turned your heart, you broke connection with it, and you know by the will of God, the word of God, that's God's plan for your life. And as you wait in prayer, as you speak yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God will take you free from that. The reason some people say I have a besetting sin is because you think the flesh is weak. And it is. But Jesus told you the flesh was weak. So he said, don't try to fight that in the flesh. Don't even try to stay awake to pray in the flesh. Because, you know, you can stay up. You can go, like we have our prayer, but you'll be able to stay awake if you want to. But you can stay awake and not get anything out of it, too. I've walked back and forth praying before and stayed awake and didn't get anything out of it because I wasn't praying in the Spirit. I'm not talking about something mystical, but I'm talking about praying with the clarity of the same voice that you know convicted you of your lostness. The same clarity of the voice that told you you could be saved by Jesus Christ. The same voice that told you you were saved after you were saved. Because I tell people often, there's only one person can tell you you're saved and you believe it, and that's the Holy Ghost of God. Because your preacher can tell you you're saved, and your best friend can tell you you're saved, your parents can tell you you're saved, but until the Spirit of God tells you, you won't believe it. Amen. Because the only one that removes a doubt. And I can tell you that there's victory in Jesus Christ. But until you hear by the Spirit of God, you won't believe it. Until you stop your life long enough to determine that you're going to live by yielding unto the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God convicts you of sin today. You've got to stop and say, okay, Father, this is your will. You don't want me to live like this. Help me. And wait and listen. And then the Father will give direction. You know why a lot of people really continue to walk in sin? Because you move too fast. How did the disciples get the power to go out and serve the Lord after Jesus resurrected? But remember, how'd they get it? What'd they do?
They tarried.
That means they did what? They waited. So I'm from Texas. These big words like tarry, I don't get them off. They waited. I think there's a verse in the Bible that says, "Be still, know that I'm God." Remember that story, Brother Mark read that verse of the Bible reading. That's all we did. I didn't preach. We just stayed there and waited. You know what happens? The Spirit of God encouraged hearts. The Spirit of God challenged people. The Spirit of God stirred people. The Spirit of God lifted burdens. The Spirit of God turned people's eyes to Jesus Christ. All we did was come here and wait. Because what happens is, you say, okay, well, I know I can't do that anymore. Well, okay, but I gotta keep going. I got this. No, you have to wait. If you wait long enough for what the Spirit of God put on your heart, He'll send the confirmation of how to get out. You know how many people in this room, if we're here, really wanted to die daily, but you haven't been able to do it? Because you didn't wait enough, long enough for the Spirit to give you that death. Jesus went back 3 times in prayer before the Spirit, before it was settled that He was going to go to the cross. Now I understand it was settled from eternity past, but God gave us that illustration for a reason. 3 different times He went and prayed to see if there's another way to handle it except but His death. And finally, after the 3rd time of praying, it was settled. Nevertheless, He could go. Why? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. He waited, and the Spirit of God settled in his heart that this was the will of the Father. And then he could walk boldly. And he could say that no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down. Amen. Can't do that in the flesh. Spirit of God can do that. Luke 11. Thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. Well, if you don't want God to lead you into temptation, don't you have to wait long enough for Him to lead you somewhere else except for temptation? You got to wait. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall not go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. This is how we pray. Lord, I have nothing to help anybody. Lord, I have nothing to help myself. Give me something. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in the bed. I cannot rise and give thee. That's not a real friend. He said, well, don't bother me. Door shut. I can't rise and give you. My children are in bed. No. Verse 8. I send you, though he will not rise and give him, the son, under normal conditions, he ain't getting out of bed. Go help. But because he is his friend, and because of his importunity, urgent request, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Do we understand that we urgently need the power of God? I mean, do you understand by the Spirit of God today that you urgently need the Spirit of God to guide you in every step of your life? I remember. people in my coach, we have a way of saying things sometimes. They was talking to this. I was in high school or college, something, I can't remember where it was, but I've heard this more than once. But there's a sister, it wasn't really my sister in Christ, but a black woman called sister, and they was talking about this guy and said, don't you want to get back with him? And she goes, honey, I can do bad all by myself. And we can do bad all by ourselves. And that's what's happening with a lot of people getting attention. We're doing bad all by ourselves. We're not working in the power of the Spirit. And we think there's something wrong with God. We think sometimes something wrong with church. We think something wrong with Christianity. No, it's just like going to the store. And you imagine going to the store and leaving your wallet behind. And expect somebody to give you something, and people think you're crazy. You know, why do we try to accomplish spiritual things in the flesh? It's craziness, and we go crazy because we have this insane cycle. Let me ask you a question. We just had a tremendous revival meeting. Have you changed anything? Have you allowed the Spirit of God to change anything about your life? If you have not, you're going to go back to the same cycle you were at before. I promise you that. But I promise you, if you stop today and by the Spirit of God, let yield and listen, ask God to teach you as you read the Bible, to guide you, and by the Spirit of God to lead you and wait for that leadership, then you go to wherever you go, to that direction where God wants you to go. Why? Well, how do we get that? We're trying to get here. We're almost there. And he goes down further. See, and he said, verse 9, And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. That surely that can't be true. Yeah, it is. We believe the Bible here, right? Everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any that is a father, will he give him a stone? Not a real father. Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Give him a serpent. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Why? Because then that would kill the child. If ye, then, you know, you saw heathens will do this good for the children. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, wait a minute, he's going to give something here. I got my bifocals on, but I'm not sure I just catch what that is. Can this really be true? Now, he just said, we read in verse 9, ask and shall be given. And we read in verse number 10, everyone that asks you receive it. And Jesus said that the evil fathers know how to give gifts to their children. And he says that God's children, if they'll ask, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good jobs to them that ask him? How much more should your heavenly Father give wealth to them that ask him? How much more should your heavenly Father give health to them that ask him? No, God knows what we need most, doesn't he? How much more should your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Why? Because his Spirit is willing. So the primary concern is that the Spirit, that we have what we need spiritually. And then the Spirit can do things that the flesh cannot do. When you have a faith that's led by the Spirit of God, then there's endless possibilities. But when you have a faith that's led by flesh, taste, touch, smell, sight, man, you're limited. So often we limit our faith by what we've even seen in ourselves instead of having the faith to believe what we see in what God can do. You know, God wants us to live the life that he wants us to live. That's a pretty simple statement. We all agree there. So what's wrong with what I would call average Christianity, which really doesn't make sense because there's nothing average about Jesus Christ, right? The power. The spiritual power to get it done. We have so magnified the flesh to where we, in Christianity today, we honestly, if we just be honest, we honestly do not believe that the Spirit of God has more power than our flesh. And if that's true, what in the world do we get saved for? As we study Wednesday night, it's not just for fire insurance. That Jesus gave his life to deliver us in this present evil world. The reason, the thing Brother Mark read about in Revelation, when it gets bad, the reason God's people are going to be able to testify and face death. Why? Because they got the Spirit. They know that we're living to die anyway. We're looking forward to death, to be absent with the body, is present with the Lord. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. We gain when we die. Well, you'll never believe that if you're not walking in the Spirit of God. And if you're struggling in the Spirit of God, then you have to ask God for that. Because that besetting sin you can't lay down, you better get along with God and you say, Father, you know my heart. I've tried to do this. I've wanted out of this for a long time. It's driving me crazy. But I believe in the power of your Spirit. And Father, with the same conviction that your spirit led me into salvation, I believe your spirit can lead me to be free, because you said if the Son therefore should make you free, you should be free indeed. And when you why did Jesus, when, and here, here's, and when you pray in the Spirit, why did Jesus look up to heaven and say, Father, I thank you, thou heard me? Why? The Spirit of God. He knew. How do you, you want to, that's, and when you pray in the Spirit, you'll know what God wants you to pray, and you'll be at rest in it. Sometimes you pray in the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God say, wait, and you'll rest. Sometimes you pray in the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God say, ask again. And we prayed anointed Deborah with oil, but last night at 7:30, I was praying, and the Spirit of God said, you need to pray for her right now. Why? I don't know. Don't have to know. I just know I was in my Bible, I was fellowshiping with the Lord, and the Spirit of God put hearts on my mind, and He said at 7:30, right now, pray. So I did it. Who knows what? And the besetting sins that I struggle with. When I came in the communion with God, it was good to hear the Spirit of God say it's over. And to know it was over. So how can you know? How do you, anybody here know they're saved? Okay, that's how you can know. What are you saved from? Are you just saved from hell, or are you saved from sin too? I'm not talking about sin's perfection, but I'm talking about freed from the bondage of sin. So if a Christian has a besetting sin, there's something wrong. We've got to, if you can't pray, then that's, you got to at least come to the heart conclusion that the Spirit of God said this has to stop. And you got to be willing to be humble. Submit yourself therefore to God. What did Jesus say? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. That's why we pray that. That's why He put that in the model prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And then you rest in the Spirit of God. Say, Father, I want to be a good servant of yours. And I see your will before me. I recognize today that your Spirit is willing to help me to do your will. And listen to God. Don't look what you see in any of the believers. That's why Christianity is so weak, because we say, well, it didn't work for them. You know, that famous preacher, he fell. That person in church all their life, they did this, they did that. They did this, they did that. Well, thank God that it didn't depend on other people, amen. Thank God salvation comes from Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't doubt my salvation when somebody falls. So why should I doubt my ability to walk with God? And I see, one of the greatest revelations I ever had, when the Bible says that we dare not make ourselves a number, are they that compare themselves among themselves, and catch this, and compare themselves by themselves. Don't even compare yourself to yourself. Because you look at what you did 5 years ago, and you think, man, well, just the way I got to be, I guess. Or maybe you did more 5 years ago. Then don't look at that person. Look unto Jesus. Pray, walk with God, be in the Spirit, and let the Spirit of God tell you what you need to do right now. And stop long enough for Him to tell you. And that's really why we have invitation time. So if you heard the preaching, you just say, well, that's business as usual, you know. I say, well, that's over with. We got my church in. Everything's good. No. But you're supposed to stop and say, Father, I want to know what you want from me in this. I want to be, Father, would you lead me by your Spirit? You know, it's a no-brainer, like we just read, for a father to give his son bread instead of a stone. So, Lord, you know what I mean? Let me just say it differently. The father does not even have to think about it, that he would give. How much more? Catch this. Do you understand what we just read? How much more? If a heathen earthly father, I've been in some homes where I've seen dads taking care of their children, they got the smell of dope in them. You see drugs all around the house. You see beer everywhere around the house. You see a house in total disarray and in a mess, and their child comes up and say, "Can I? Want something to eat?" And they will give them some bread without even thinking about it. And how much more should the perfect, how much more, it says, how much more should the perfect, holy, and righteous Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Why? Because He's good. Because if He knows the flesh is weak, The book of Isaiah says, "Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way." Within this room right now, there's people with some great plans for God. And can I just be honest with you, because I love you? A lot of it's never going to take place unless you decide right now you're going to walk in the Spirit and allow the Spirit to lead you and empower you to do it. You'd be surprised. I've said it before in a room like this. A number of times people come to a service here and they're just ready to quit because they've just been doing it in the flesh. Because you're gonna have to make a choice today before you leave here. And I'm really being serious, because I really believe what I'm preaching. There's something needs to change in a lot of lives in these rooms. I'm not talking about even gross sin. I'm not talking about anything. I'm talking about let me restate that. Thank you, Lord. You're gonna have to allow God to make some changes in your life. It's not enough to know that you've done wrong. You've got to hear from God how to go forward. So you've got to ask. We're going to have an invitation here. I'm going to encourage you, if you're saved, ask God for the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about something mystical, magical. It's right here in the book, okay? Amen. I don't care what charismatic or other crazy people have done, how they've minimized the power of the Holy Spirit or even mishandled it. It says right here, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit than to ask Him? Why? Because the Spirit is willing. So since Jesus said it was a good thing, I'm encouraging you to ask God to give you the Holy Spirit. There's people in this room right now in besetting sins, and you just don't know how to where you're ever going to get away from it. You have to ask God for the Holy Spirit. And I promise you, in authority of the Word of God, if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to lead you to the next step, if you wait there, you'll be endued with power. And you'll know in your heart that you're freed from that. And the next day, when that thing raises its ugly head, that same voice will tell you what to do. And you'll yield to that voice. And it'll be something inside that says, you'll hear a voice there to tell you something you hadn't heard in a long time. I don't have to do that. Kind of like a kid gets 18. I don't have to do what you say anymore. They can if they want to, but they don't have to. Because they're legal. They're legal. They can do what you ask, but they don't have to. And people have been far too friendly with sin for too long because they thought they had to. And you can say no. My son, Proverbs, I think it's 1:10, my son, when sinners entice thee, consent thou not. So, Jimmy, don't give in. I hope you leave here today with the assurance that when Jesus spoke to his disciples, he was trying to deliver them from a life of trying to accomplish spiritual things in the flesh. Because the flesh is absolutely too weak to get it done. You must have the Spirit. And when they were asked to be taught how to pray, Jesus gave them instructions to simply ask, "And how much more shall He give it?" Anybody here hungry today? I don't mean because it's appetite, but I mean you're hungry because you don't have food. I mean, the Heavenly Father is giving you food. The Heavenly Father. And He speaks to your heart today, how much more shall He give the Holy Spirit than ask Him? I don't want you to leave here today thinking that was a good, encouraging thought. I want you to leave here empowered by the voice of the Holy Spirit of God to be what God wants you to be. Because it's nice that we love each other in this church. It's wonderful. It's nice to see the smiles, but I know real life. And I know the years I struggled with my own besetting sins and the fear and all those type of things until the Spirit of God say, "You don't have to." That was almost like that verse when it came to Jesus. I can't remember what condition he had, but he said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And know what Jesus said? He said, "I will." I will. And some of you need to come to the Christ right now and say, Lord, I hear what's been taught. And you need to say with full assurance of what the Word of God and faith in Christ, Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. And if you listen to God, I promise you here, I will. But then he'll give you the steps of what's next. And you wait, and you wait, and you pray, and you say, Father, and you ask him, what are you leading? What is it about? What needs to change so I can do what God wants me to do? Einstein said insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. That's why there's so many people depressed and discouraged after revival meetings and powerful meetings. They have this all this preaching, all this stuff, and even in the church. I mean, we've had two great missionaries come through here recently and preach the Word of God, encourage us, challenge us. But you know, if we just go do the same thing over again, nothing's going to change. Well, we've got the Word of God today, and God bringing to a point where you can make a decision to really allow Him to move you into being what He wants you to be. Some of you are going to have to repent. Some of you are going to have to let it go. Repent first. Ask questions later. Know what the next question is? Give me the Holy Ghost. Amen. And some of you just need to repent of not believing that Jesus could save you from the bondage of sin. Some of you, it's funny how we think He can save us eternally, but He can't help us to walk in victory right now. Because again, we falsely interpreted that verse, and we think, wow, the flesh is, yeah, the Spirit's willing, but my flesh is too weak. That's what we really think, you know. You know when I thought that? You know what happened to me? I got saved. But I tried to be a husband that loved my wife like Christ loved the church. And I kept getting madder. I mean, I knew it was the Bible. And I'm trying to do all this stuff. And I'm listening. They're teaching me in Sunday school all this stuff. You know, love your wife like Christ loved the church. I'm trying to do all these things. And I'm not getting reciprocated like I think I deserve to be reciprocated. I'm thinking, and finally realized there's something wrong with me. First I thought my wife was just unthankful, ungrateful. Then I realized, no, there's something wrong with you, man. Then I was born again. And then I began to walk in victory. And then I began to walk in the Spirit. I remember walking back, praying in different places, and the Spirit of God moving into my heart at different times. I can stop and tell you different acts of boldness and things the Spirit of God led me to do at different times in my life. But then after those acts of boldness, for a period of time, I thought that I had something to do with that. Then I got detracted and began to walk in the flesh. And then little by little, the victories got less. The joys got less. The peace got less. Until I realized the Spirit's willing. Praise God. Good to see you. She's fine. She's fine, Wendy. You're home here. No matter. Now, this is the point where I have to let go. This is the difficult part of the service for me. Because this is the test if I really believe what I said I preached. God, no, I can't convince you. The Spirit of God's got to do it. But I can tell you with full assurance that God's way works. Somebody just say, Lord, would you breathe on me today? Amen. Father, these precious creations in your hands. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for just coming before your children today to help them. I thank you for how you've helped me. I'm thankful today to be able to say today with full assurance I'm preaching something I practice. And you've never failed. Father, in my flesh, I'd like to make a final review, but I trust you that you've spoken to your creation as you would have them to. So, Father, every child that belongs to you, these next few moments, I pray that they'll commune with you. and they will slow down long enough to get instructions from you.